Agenda item number 8, Christopher Pritchard. Mr. Stagg?
Yep, round 2. This one's not so simple either.
Howdy, Apper.
There's 3 packets of continuing objections there. My eval notes, there's 2 people to continue to object. There's at least 3 to continue, and there's riparian applications, which we would probably treat as technically, I guess, a protest. I'll clarify that as we go along. So this is an orchard plan grant application submitted by Mr. Christopher Pritchard, requesting to lease up to 30 acres of planting grounds within Horn Harbor, which is in Matthews County. The application is protested by a number of local highland property owners in the area. Horn Harbor is located in Matthews County. Winter Harbor is to the north. Object Bay is to the south. The particular application, Mr. Pritchard, wraps around this point right here. The point is prospected by the road called Morse Road. Closer view of the area on the topo map. Again, the application will wrap around the land. So in December of 2004, we received the application from Mr. Pritchard. As is currently our policy, we do allow applicants to use a private land surveyor to survey the orchard ground if they so desire. Mr. Pritchard contracted with Bayshore. Jamie Pruitt is the surveyor, and they surveyed the ground. And the original survey, which is not reflected here, is reflected here. This is the application area. So that's what he applied for. We don't typically lease under piers. So what we got here is a whole bunch of lines, and I'll explain them as we go on. But the original survey that was done for Mr. Pritchard is the lighter colored line you see here. So it goes down this line, inshore, around these piers, back inshore, around these piers, offshore those piers over to here, and then back around and goes around these existing leases as the outer boundary. Almost immediately after it was surveyed, we started getting phone calls from residents along this point objecting to what was happening, wanting to know what was happening. And the complaints were that this, you know, was too close to their piers, too close to their shoreline. And they had concerns that if the ground was used particularly for cage aquaculture, it would interfere with their ability to use this area in the way they've been accustomed to navigate to their piers and use the nearshore beach area. I contacted the private surveyor and the applicant, and we revisited the site together and restaked the ground, which is the dark line you see here. So we followed pretty much the original survey, more or less, on the eastern side. However, we did not go in shore as was done in the original survey. We stayed offshore here and here into this little cove and then back out in an attempt maybe to address some of these issues of the applicants, highland property owners that live along the shoreline. It should be noted that this area, particularly in this part of the cove, was previously leased and was leased pretty much right up to the shoreline. That lease reverted a number of years ago for non-payment of rent and lay vacant for quite some time. We believe a lot of the development in the piers were built probably in the interim. Some of them may have existed when the other lease was there, and the lease may still have predated the piers. But we believe a lot of these piers were built in more recent years. But this area had been traditionally leased and was leased by an active waterman family. They did let the ground go. I think one of them died and the other one decided not to keep the ground. Did lay vacant. Mr. Pritchard applied for it. So we had the initial survey, which really caused a lot of the protest. We resurveyed it in this manner. We re-notified all the people that had contacted us. and gave them a copy of this drawing to show them what was originally surveyed versus the modified one, asked them whether they wanted to continue to object. We did receive at least three people that continued to object to the application, even with the modified survey, for very similar reasons. They still thought the lease was too close to their, mostly to their peers, and had concerns about, you know, type of activity that might occur on it. So this is just another version of that same drawing without the photograph. So this is the final survey that we're bringing before you today, with some caveats that I'll tell you in a minute. But it comes out to be 24.96 acres, and it is the dark black line. I'm going to leave that up for a second. Last week, as we were notifying people, we got two riparian applications from the residents along this point. Yesterday, we got three more. Two were delivered by hand, and one additional one came in the mail. They were from some of the people who continue to object, and from at least one of them was from someone we hadn't heard from at all before. But I think they're next door to a person who objects, and they probably talk to each other. So this represents the survey, that the most recent survey, to stay offshore, and these five boxes represent the riparian applications we just received within the last 10 days. And these are approximate. These are not surveyed. This has been surveyed, but none of the riparians have been surveyed. So this is an approximation of where they would go based on what the applicant requested. As you're aware, you know, landowners can get a riparian application if they own at least 205 linear feet, which these people do, and they can go out a maximum of 210 feet, but no further. Most of these people have opted to go the maximum of 210 feet to push the Pritchard application further offshore. The code clearly states that if you request a riparian and you meet the code requirements, that you get a riparian. There is leasing, a regular lease, is up to the commission. As long as we get riparian applications while we have pending regular lease applications, the riparians take precedence. So what we propose here is, and this was a quick thing I did this morning, is at the moment at least, adjust the current Pritchard survey to follow the offshore of these existing riparians. We won't go in here at all. We'll just skip over this area, because we think going in here will still create a conflict. We'll go to this existing corner, then we would go to the offshore corner of this riparian, then back to this corner, and then follow the existing survey, which joins existing ground all the way around till you get to here. We're not proposing any modification here. The lease line is reasonably close to the end of these piers, but there are no stakes set at the end of any of these piers. The only pier that really had a stake close to it in the modified survey was this one, and it was already a piling there, and we just stuck a stake by it. I've had a number of conversations with this gentleman, and of course he's opted for his riparian now, and that will probably take care of that issue of how close it is to his property. But he continues to object in association with his riparian. And all of these people we would consider objecting as part of their riparian. We would honor that. This gentleman is one of the people who continues to object. When we re-notified him, he told me in an email that he could not make it to the meeting today. He is one of those three letters you got that says he wants to make sure that you understand he still objects. This is an empty lot with no house, but I believe this pier is his pier, and the line does go relatively close to the end of this pier, and that's his concern. That particularly if cages were set here, and I believe Mr. Pritchard will address that. He does not propose, I think, to use cages on this ground. But should he, that might create a conflict. We do have a regulation that would not allow him to set cages in a way that interferes with navigation. I suspect we may get a riparian application from this applicant if he has the frontage. I reiterated that to him in an email this morning, responding to his email from yesterday saying he could not be here. So our recommendation is to lease what you see here, excluding these riparians and the line as you see it now, and to exclude any riparian we get between now and when this ground is actually assigned. So if you approve it today, that's not, that doesn't mean it's a sign. That just means you've approved the configuration we've proposed. And should we get any additional riparians, we would survey all of those first, move his line to offshore so that it clears all of those. And the other caveat here is that a private surveyor did do this one. I've talked to at least one of the residents, and he's indicated that they will likely try to hire the same private surveyor to do all the riparian applications, because it will probably save them some money, because we charge $675 per application. If the private surveyor does them all in one day, he can probably give them a better rate than us. And since he did the original survey, it'll work out well, because he can adjust this other survey as well, of course, to our standards. So it's a little complicated, like the last one. But, again, this is the recommendation. If we don't get any other riparian applications, the approximate acreage with this new line, as you see it here, will be about 22 acres instead of the current survey, which is 24.96. I believe there are some of the protestants and riparian applicants are here today. They may wish to address the commission, and it could be other people here that object as well. I'm not sure. We did notify all of the protestants except this gentleman, who also got a late notification again, but he did get notified as of Friday. He is aware of the meeting. He was invited to the meeting in multiple emails. That was an omission on our part, because all of his correspondence was by email. And unfortunately, when we did the letters, he did not get a letter, but he did get official notified twice by email with the meeting location and the time. Having said that, the applicant is here. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Stagger. The questions from the commission. Thank you, sir. Is the applicant present, Mr. Pritchard? Let me swear you in, sir. Do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the true self of God? Please state your name.
My name is Christopher Pritchard.
Thank you, Mr. Pritchard. What else does the commission need to know about your application?
The only thing, I'm not planting any cages, no cages at all. I just plant shells. That's the way all my other oysters sure are. I use Kellum Seafood. They've planted for me. J&W Seafood, Roark and Shores. I got multiple beds all over in different rivers. And that's the way I've been doing it for years, and just trying to build my oyster shore up so I can have a rotation for a four-year turnaround.
What other river systems do you lease in?
Yankton River, North River, Ware River,
okay.
Jack Bay.
Great. Questions from the commission? Ms. Haney.
Just to be clear, none of the other leaseholders, adjoining leaseholders, have any objections whatsoever. It's just the landowners.
Yes, that's it.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Pritchard. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to be heard in favor of this application? Anybody in the audience wish to be heard in favor of it?
I'd say
if you're going to comment, please come forward, sir. Public hearing, I need to swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God?
Yes.
Please state your name for the record.
Darwin Harding. I think that riparian rights, these people are trying to block this man from doing this. I think that's sad that we can't work in harmony together, that these people can try to do this in the intent that they're not planning on even using it. Just to do that, to take up this footage just for spite, not to really use this riparian for any particular thing, but to take it up just to be a problem. I think that's wrong for those people to do that. We can all work in harmony together.
I appreciate your concern, Mr. Harding, but they have the right under Virginia law to do this.
They have the right to have the riparian rights.
They do.
But they should have to work the shore like the rest of us do.
Any questions for Mr. Harding?
I mean, just to take it up, just to do that, I think it's wrong.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Please come forward, sir. Hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Please state your name for the record.
Bart, B-A-R-T, Johnson.
Mr. Johnson.
When we learned about this whole process, we had no idea that Mr. Pritchard was not going to use cages. As a matter of fact, Mr. Stagg emailed me and said that cages were permissible 12 inches above the substrate, which, in my opinion, would be a hazard to navigation with all the recreational boaters in that area. You know, at high tide through the channel, we have 4 to 5 feet at high tide. Low tide, it's, you know, 2 feet less. So we were concerned about that. And I think everybody that got those riparian rights or submitted for it was concerned about the cages. And I don't know if there's two different application processes, one without and one with cages, but I don't know how we can be assured that cages aren't going to, you know, appear in these waterways that are going to be hazards for us.
I believe that's a question Mr. Stack could answer pretty easily.
So I did, to Mr. Johnson and a number of the protestants, I did inform them that Mr. Pritchard could put cages on this lease should he get it, because that is the current law and regulation. Once you get a lease, you are allowed to put cages up to 12 inches by regulation with some caveats. You can't impede navigation. They have to be non-toxic and some other parts of the regulation. But there is no mechanism for us to approve a lease without the right to put a cage. Now, Mr. Pritchard has consistently said that he is not going to put cages and that he does on-bottom activity. We do give a questionnaire to each applicant to ask that question, and they answer yes or no, whether they're going to do on-bottom or cages. But that's just for informational purposes that I can relay on to anyone who calls me. See, this is what he says he's going to do, but legally he's allowed to do both. He can do on bottom and cages. So that continues to be a concern of nearby property owners, that fear that it can happen. And it is allowed once he gets the lease. It is legally allowed with caveats within the regulation. I've heard Mr. Pritchard's testimony as to how he plans to use the ground.
I'm sorry, sir. I hijacked you there. I thought Mr. Stagg could help edify things a bit. Please continue with your...
That's it. And Mr. Pritchard sounds like a very honest man. And, you know, across the harbor, we had a marina go up. And the gentleman over there came over and talked to all the property owners on the other side and told us what his plans were. We came to a mutual understanding, and we had no objections to him creating, you know, slips and things like that. So it's not like we don't want to work with people in the area. I think if Mr. Pritchard had come around the shore maybe on a weekend and talk with us and explain what he was going, you wouldn't be seeing all these applications for riparian rights. So, you know, if cages aren't going up, I don't think any of us are really going to have major concerns about what's going on here. But, again, we don't have any assurances, so that's why I think you see those applications.
Well, where do you stand at this point? What would you like the commission to do?
I'd probably like to talk to Mr. Pritchard outside of this meeting, shake his hand, and get assurances from him no cages will go up, and then I might just...
I believe we just got that.
I'm still undecided.
Okay. Other questions from the commission?
I want to staff.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
If Mr. Pritchard passes away or decides to get out of the oyster business, and can he lease that ground to somebody else?
He could sublease the ground once he gets it, or he could transfer it to anyone that's legally hold ground in Virginia, which would be a Virginia resident or a Virginia corporation.
And so that person who subleased it would have the right to put the cages on there, right?
I guess if Mr. Pritchard, that was their agreement that he would allow him to do it, that you're correct. Okay. I mean, that's the point here is the law does allow cages, and this is the fear, and you just heard it.
Thank you.
You're going to keep hearing it at future meetings.
Yes, you will. Mr. France.
Yes, my question is for the applicant. It looks like you've been involved in the oyster business for a while. Are you involved anyway in raising oysters in cages at this time?
I'm not. I've got close to 800 acres of oyster shore, and I do not own the first cage. Okay. All I do is plant spat on shell and seed oysters.
Thank you.
All traditional.
Mr. Ballard.
Question for staff. I understand what you're saying about cages being legal to below 12 inches, but you also said there was the caveat that they cannot impede navigation, right, which I believe was the protestants' concern. So there would be some sort of remedy if at low tide there were cages sticking out all over the channel and there was no way to get through that area.
We do get complaints like that, and we do follow up. And on occasion, we concur that they are a hazard, and we tell the leaseholder you have to either remove them or move them, and we will work with them on a proper location that we think does not cause an issue. But that is the remedy, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Stack. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to be heard in opposition to this application? Please come forward, sir. Hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Steve Taylor.
Mr. Taylor, welcome. What would you like the commission to know?
I'm going to agree with what Mr. Johnson has told you. The only addition I would say is that I would be concerned about cages being 12 inches off the floor bottom, and at low tide we're maybe 2 feet, 2.5 feet, and that extends way out in front of our properties. I'd be concerned about like skiing or whatever coming in and having an accident with the cage being so high up to close to the surface of the water. And also, as far as riparian rights, I mean, we do use that property, that area there, is just for different purposes than what this gentleman might be using that for. I mean, I grow my own oysters along the dock, and I have a permit to do that, and, you know, for recreation and whatever. So if I had known ahead of time that and would be guaranteed that it would only be seated on the floor with no cages, I wouldn't have had opposition.
Thank you. Any questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to be heard in opposition to this application? Mr. Pritchard, you want to wrap this up? Do you have something else to add to this? I saw your hand up.
Not really. I was just letting them know I'm not putting any cages down. It's all plant shell. That's the way I've always gone. That's why I'm going to say there's too much work involved with cages. To me, it's just not a feasible thing. It's just like moving dirt. The more you move dirt, the more it costs you.
Thank you, Mr. Pritchard. We give a last call here. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter? And anyone? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Packard.
Well, I mean, I would support staff's recommendation of the amended application, or I don't know if that would be an amendment, but modification as that we see on the screen. However, after listening to the testimony of the protestants, it seems to me that with their knowledge that there are no cages, that they would allow Mr. Pritchard to take up the bottom that is part of their riparian allotment. So thus, to make a motion that would give Mr. Pritchard, I'd like to make a motion that give him the opportunity to take that ground if, in fact, they don't protest with the riparian.
I think you're asking for a staff recommendation, to approve staff recommendation here with the caveat that any other additional riparian applications that come in the lease would be modified.
Yeah, that's not very
Does
good.
Does that sound right then?
That was sort of what we were recommending, I think, yeah. If we do get another riparian application, we have to honor it.
That's right.
Up until the day we assign whatever the final configuration, Mr. Pritchard, is. I think all these would be done pretty quickly.
Right. I think Ed's question would be if some of these riparian applications you have are withdrawn,
right,
would you go back to where the survey was?
I think we talk to the riparian applicant and see if that was... They're withdrawing it with the agreement that we're going to move the line back to where it is now. I don't think they're going to withdraw, but they certainly have the option to withdraw if they like. There is a cost associated with getting a riparian, whether we do it or the private surveyor does it. But there's a benefit to having it, too. So,
basically, we'd be approving an amoeba that could change, add or take away, depending on riparian stuff.
The way it is right now, because we got another application, like we're going to honor it until...
Mr. Ballard had his...
I was Ballard. Making the same point.
Oh, okay. Great minds think alike.
Well, then I would second Ed's motion.
So that's motion by Mr. Tanker, second by Mr. Neal. Any further discussion on the motion? Are we all clear on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. There you go, Mr. Pritchard. Well, now seems good a time to break for lunch. We've lunches here. We'll reconvene at 12:30. Give folks enough time to get out and grab a sandwich. So, recess until 12:30.